Imagine paying one single Junial developer, right? And getting the output of a 15-person Silicon Valley engineering team.
Yeah, it sounds like absolute hyperbole,
Yeah.
like just the kind of marketing spin you hear at every tech conference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as of today, that is actually the new baseline in software development. Welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
It is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026, and today we are looking at a fundamental transformation in how humans interact with machines to build, well, the digital world around us.
It really is a revolution in every sense of the word.
It is, and we're pulling from a fascinating stack of source material today, specifically the comprehensive curriculum from Vibe Coding Masters.
Right, out of Hyderabad.
Yep. They are a highly specialized training institute based out of Hyderabad, India, and they are actually kicking off their brand new training batch today, entirely focused on this exact workflow revolution.
And the timing of this deep dive is just crucial for anyone tech adjacent because, you know, we are officially past the early adopter phase.
The experimental era is over.
Exactly. The experimental era of AI in software development is totally done.
Yeah.
This is now the industry standard, and the economics of building software have permanently changed.
So our mission for you today is to basically cut through all the industry buzzwords. We want to help you understand exactly what vibe coding actually is.
Right, getting past the hype.
Yes, and we're going to look under the hood to see how specific tools, like Cursor and anti-gravity, are fundamentally rewiring the development process.
And why developers who master this are commanding massive salary premiums right now in 2026.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with that phrase itself, vibe coding. To be honest, I mean, it sounds like something a DJ does at a club, not a serious software engineering practice. What does it actually mean for a developer sitting at their desk?
It does sound a bit casual on the surface, I'll give you that,
Yeah.
but the philosophy behind it is incredibly rigorous.
How so?
Well, the core of vibe coding is moving away from the traditional idea of an AI as just an external utility, like a spell checker or a calculator that you only consult when you're stuck. Instead, you treat the AI as an active, collaborative partner. Because in traditional coding, you are the solo author. If you hit a roadblock, you have to stop typing, switch over to a browser, search Google.
Read through pages of documentation, yeah.
Exactly, and you completely break your flow state.
Yeah.
Vibe coding creates an environment where the AI anticipates your next move so accurately and handles so much of the repetitive typing that it just feels like a natural extension of your own thinking.
So you stay in the vibe.
Yes, you stay in that flow state continuously
Yeah.
without constantly shifting contexts.
I was actually trying to visualize this earlier because flow state is so abstract. Think of traditional coding like writing a novel on a heavy manual typewriter.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Right. You have the story in your head, but you have to constantly stop typing to check a dictionary, manually format the margins, make sure you spelled every minor character's name right. It's just exhausting.
It really is.
So vibe coding is like having a brilliant co-author sitting right next to you. They instantly type out all the boilerplate ideas, which for anyone outside of tech, boilerplate is basically the repetitive standard plumbing that every app needs, but no developer actually wants to write.
Nobody wants to write boilerplate.
Right, so the AI handles all that, perfectly formatted, while you focus purely on the plot, the characters, and the actual story you want to tell.
That is a remarkably accurate way to picture it, especially because it highlights the division of labor.
Right.
The human provides the narrative thrust, like the architecture and the business logic.
And the AI handles the syntax and the typing.
Exactly. And to achieve this seamless flow, the industry has largely converged on two critical platforms, Cursor AI and anti-gravity.
The sources highlight Cursor as the absolute essential canvas right now. And it's built on top of the VS Code architecture, right?
Yeah.
Which most developers already know, so the learning curve isn't a cliff.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage, but it's clearly doing way more than just predicting the next word you're going to type.
What else is it doing?
Far more. Cursor is an intelligent code editor, and its defining feature is that it indexes your entire project.
Wait, it doesn't just look at the single file you currently have open on your screen?
No, it reads all your files.
Right.
It maps out your folder structures, understands your specific naming conventions. It essentially creates a comprehensive internal map of how your entire application fits together.
Wait, really? So if I'm building a login screen, Cursor isn't just generating a generic button. It actually knows what my specific database looks like and how my custom password encryption is already set up in a totally different folder.
That is the core mechanism that makes it so powerful.
Oh, wow.
And because of that deep project-wide knowledge, it can perform safe multi-file editing.
Yeah.
You can give it a single natural language instruction in its built-in chat. Mm. Something like refactor this user authentication function to be more efficient.
And it just does it.
The AI understands exactly which 12 files need to be updated across the project to make that happen without breaking the application. And it does all of this right there in the editor window.
That's wild. But what about security? Like for enterprise adoption, banks, healthcare companies.
Crucially, it is privacy first.
Yeah.
The code base stays local on the machine. It isn't sent off to external servers to be absorbed into a public AI model without explicit permission.
Okay, so Cursor is the tactical canvas where the code actually gets written, but then the source material pairs it with this secondary platform, Antigravity, and they refer to this as an intelligence framework.
Right.
How is that different from what Cursor is already doing?
Well, if Cursor is the canvas where the paint goes down, Antigravity represents a massive paradigm shift in how developers orchestrate the entire process. Its main job is smart prompt engineering and workflow automation.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. In the early days of AI, to get a complex result, a developer had to write a massive, highly technical paragraph, a prompt detailing exactly what the AI should do. Antigravity acts as a translation layer.
So you don't have to write the massive paragraph.
Exactly. You just state your simple intent in natural language, and Antigravity translates that into the mathematically optimal prompt for the underlying AI model.
Ah, okay. So think of Antigravity like a seasoned local fixer when you are traveling abroad in a place where you don't speak the language.
I like that.
You just turn to the fixer and say, I need to get my luggage to the airport by noon. You don't need to know the local train schedules, the street names, or who to tip. The fixer translates your simple intent into the highly specific, complex local actions required to make it happen.
That is a perfect analogy. And Antigravity's role as a fixer goes beyond just writing the initial code. It maintains awareness of your broader development goals and automates the surrounding chores.
Like what kind of chores?
It orchestrates your testing, it generates your documentation, and manages your deployment processes. It even learns your specific coding patterns over time, so its translation becomes personalized to match your team's style.
Okay, if we have these two incredibly powerful tools, the real magic has to be in how they interact. Because putting a great canvas and great fixer in the same room doesn't automatically mean things get built.
Right, they have to communicate.
Exactly. How do Cursor and Antigravity actually work together to create this collaborative workflow on like a random Tuesday afternoon?
It comes down to a very clean separation of concerns. Cursor is your immediate tactical interface. It's where your hands are on the keyboard generating the logic line by line.
Okay.
Antigravity is the strategic intelligence layer hovering above that. Let's look at a concrete example. Say you are building a new feature, maybe a visual dashboard for a web application, what developers would call a React component.
Got it.
You use Cursor to actually generate the code for that dashboard. The moment Cursor finishes that, Antigravity steps in to orchestrate the complex, multi-step aftermath.
Without you even asking.
Pretty much. It analyzes the dashboard code Cursor just wrote, understands the expected inputs and outputs, and automatically spins up the unit test to make sure it doesn't break under pressure.
That's incredible.
It writes the documentation, explaining how the dashboard works, and integrates it into your deployment pipeline. All of that happens from a single high-level instruction.
See, this is where I have to pause and push back a little. And it's a concern the source material from Vibe Coding Masters addresses head-on.
I think I know where you're going with this.
If the AI is doing all this heavy lifting, if Cursor is writing the syntax and Antigravity is generating the tests and setting up the deployment, don't developers risk massive skill atrophy?
It's a valid question.
Like if I'm using a calculator for every single math problem for 5 years, I'm going to forget how to do long division. Do developers literally forget how to actually code from scratch?
What's fascinating here is that the industry has already recognized this exact risk. And the solution isn't technical at all. It's entirely behavioral.
Behavioral, meaning what?
The curriculum at Vibe Coding Masters explicitly teaches that developers must engage in deliberate practice. You cannot just leave the AI turned on 100% of the time.
So you have to force yourself to work without it.
Yes. You have to purposefully turn Cursor and Antigravity off on a regular basis, open a blank file, and build things entirely from scratch just to maintain your fundamental depths and muscle memory.
Like an airline pilot intentionally turning off the autopilot system on a clear day just to make sure they still know how to manually fly the plane when things get rough.
That is the exact mentality required. But more importantly, the fundamental role of the human shifts in this paradigm. You have to stop viewing yourself as a code writer and start viewing yourself as a code owner.
A code owner.
Right. The golden rule of vibe coding is that you must never passively accept AI-generated code. You have to read it, understand the logic behind every significant section, and remain ultimately, legally, and functionally responsible for its security. The AI suggests, but the human commits.
That makes a lot of sense. So we understand the theory of the workflow and the tools. But knowing the theory is fine, I want to know what happens when this hits actual production environments.
The real-world results.
Yeah, because if a developer is suddenly moving this fast, what is the tangible impact? The metrics cited in our source material are staggering.
They really are. The productivity gains we are seeing aren't incremental. They are exponential. On an individual level, developers are consistently reclaiming 20 to 30 hours a month.
Wow, 20 to 30 hours.
That is almost an entire work week of time that used to be spent purely on boilerplate code and routine administrative development chores.
And it scales up dramatically at the project level. The text mentions a startup founder building an MVP, a minimum viable product, which is the bare bones foundational version of an app you use to test the market.
Right.
This founder built their MVP in just 3 weeks. Traditionally, that exact same build would take 3 months of grinding.
It's a massive shift.
Overall, organizations adopting this stack are seeing their time to feature delivery reduced by 50 to 70%. That is a staggering acceleration for any business trying to beat a competitor to market. But here is the thing that really surprised me. If you're a veteran coder listening to this, you're probably rolling your eyes right now. You're thinking, sure, you can code 70% faster, but the code is going to be bloated, sloppy, and full of bugs. But the data in the sources shows the exact opposite. AI-generated code often has higher quality than human-written code.
Yeah, it throws a lot of people off.
How is that mechanically possible?
It seems highly counterintuitive until you look at the underlying mechanisms of human error versus machine generation. When a human writes code, especially late at night or under the pressure of a tight deadline, they suffer from cognitive fatigue.
Right. You get tired. You get sloppy.
Exactly. They take shortcuts. They misspell variables. An AI model doesn't get tired at 2 a.m. Furthermore, tools like Cursor aren't just guessing at the best way to build something. They've been trained on millions of peer-reviewed, high-quality, open-source repositories.
Ah, okay.
Every time the AI suggests a line of code, it is scanning that suggestion against the collective institutional knowledge of the entire global developer community in milliseconds.
So it's basically applying global best practices by default, rather than relying on whatever a single developer happens to remember in that moment.
Exactly. Because of this default standard, teams using these tools are reporting a 40% reduction in overall bug rates and 50% fewer security vulnerabilities. It is standardizing quality across the board.
And that explains a massive trend in the text why highly regulated industries are adopting this so aggressively. Normally, you'd think banks and hospitals would be terrified of an AI writing their software.
They'd think so, yeah.
But our sources note that fintech companies are heavily leaning on vibe coding to accelerate compliance-heavy development.
Right.
They are using it specifically to meet OWASP standards.
This is a huge deal.
Yeah. For anyone outside of cybersecurity, OWASP is essentially the global gold standard checklist for how to not get hacked. And ensuring your code meets every single requirement manually is notoriously tedious.
It is incredibly tedious, and humans miss things. The same applies to healthcare. They're using anti-gravity and Cursor to build applications faster because the AI can be instructed to embed high-P compliant security patterns right from the start.
Like what kind of patterns?
Like specific data encryption methods required for patient privacy. It bakes those directly into the generated code from day one. The AI acts as a built-in compliance officer, mitigating risk rather than creating it, provided the human oversees it correctly.
Okay, but this brings up a massive question. If the AI is acting as the compliance officer, standardizing the security, writing the syntax, reducing the bugs, and doing the typing, so what does this all mean for the actual day-to-day job of a human engineer?
It means the job has been fundamentally elevated. We are moving away from the manual labor of typing syntax and moving entirely toward complex systems thinking.
Okay, so what are they actually doing?
The Vibe Coding Master's curriculum breaks down the human requirements into a deeply interconnected set of skills. They call them the six pillars. The foundation of it all is prompt engineering. And to be clear, this isn't just casually chatting with a bot. It is the highly technical skill of clear problem articulation, You have to provide the exact right context, constraints, and business goals to the AI.
Right, because if you give a brilliant fixer a vague instruction, you're going to get a brilliantly executed disaster. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
So you prompt the AI, it gives you a suggestion, but then you need what the text calls architectural thinking.
Yes, because AI is fantastic at localized tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It can write a specific data sorting function perfectly, but it cannot architect strategic overarching system design.
It can't see the big picture.
Right. It doesn't know how to balance long-term scalability against immediate budget constraints, or how to design a database schema for a highly unique, never-before-seen business model. That strategic vision is purely human territory.
And once that architecture is in place and the AI starts generating the code, the human shifts into code review and debugging. As we discussed, the AI isn't flawless.
Definitely not.
When an AI makes a mistake, it doesn't make a simple typo. It makes a complex, logically sound mistake based on a misunderstanding of your prompt. You need the human ability to do methodical root cause analysis.
Which naturally requires a testing mindset.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, anti-gravity can generate the test code itself, but the human has to define the boundaries of reality. You have to know what weird, one-in-a-million edge case the software needs to survive.
Oh, that makes sense.
And all of this, the prompting, the architecture, the testing, it's all useless without the final piece, deep domain knowledge. AI works best when the human guiding it deeply understands the specific industry they are building for, whether that's maritime shipping logistics or retail banking.
This raises an important question, though, especially regarding that code review and debugging phase.
Mm.
What happens when the AI just makes things up?
Ah, hallucinations.
Yeah, we hear all the time about AI hallucinations. What if it confidently generates code that calls an external software API that doesn't even exist? How do you manage a co-author that occasionally lies to you?
It's a very real challenge, and it's why passive reliance is so dangerous. But the curriculum provides a specific structural solution for this. You have to forcibly ground the AI in reality.
How do you do that?
If you are worried about hallucinations, you don't just ask the AI to build something based on its general training data. You explicitly specify the exact software library versions in your prompt, and you provide direct links to the official documentation. You tell anti-gravity, read this specific updated documentation link and use only these facts to accomplish this task. This forces the AI to reference verified external facts rather than relying on the generalized, sometimes flawed memory of its internal model.
Ah, so you intentionally constrain its creativity when you need strict factual accuracy. That is a brilliant tactic. So we've got this entirely new set of highly specialized human skills: architectural vision, complex prompting, rigorous code ownership.
Yes.
If a developer is suddenly doing the work of three people by mastering these skills, the economics of hiring have to fundamentally break. How is the job market actually pricing this new superpower?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the market data is absolutely undeniable. The transition is happening faster than almost anyone predicted. Looking back at the Stack Overflow Developer Survey from 2024, 73% of developers were already using AI tools regularly.
73%.
And LinkedIn reported a 74% year-over-year increase in AI-related job postings in that same year alone. The demand for engineers who can safely orchestrate these tools is vastly outpacing the supply.
And the financial reality driving that demand is just wild. The sources point out that a team of five AI augmented developers properly using Cursor and anti-gravity can match the output of a team of 10 to 15 traditional developers.
It's massive leverage.
Think about that from a business perspective. The savings on salaries, benefits, and communication overhead is massive. And because of that incredible return on investment, developers who have mastered these tools are commanding a 15 to 25% salary premium over traditional developers right now.
That premium is completely rational, honestly. You are paying a single person 20% more because they're delivering the velocity of three people. It's a bargain for the company. The career trajectories have shifted entirely to reflect this.
Let's look at some of the specific roles driving these salaries. You have the AI augmented software engineer. This is essentially a traditional development role, but supercharged. They are pulling in $120,000 to $180,000 a year simply because they can ship features 3 to 4 times faster than their peers.
Right.
And then you have the really heavy hitters, the AI infrastructure engineers. These are the folks optimizing the AI development workflows at a massive enterprise scale, setting up the guardrails for hundreds of developers. They are making $150,000 to well over $240,000.
And this demand is precisely why specialized training ecosystems are exploding. Traditional computer science degrees, which take 4 years, simply cannot update their curriculums fast enough to teach these rapidly evolving workflows.
Which brings us right back to Vibe Coding Masters in Hyderabad. They've built their entire educational model around the specific urgent market gap.
They saw the writing on the wall.
They run intensive 3 to 6 month programs covering full stack, front end, and back end specializations. And they are so confident in the market demand that they offer 100% placement assistance. What's absolutely crazy to me about all of this is how accessible the actual technology is.
It's surprisingly cheap.
To learn this, you don't need a supercomputer. You just need a basic laptop and a Cursor Pro subscription, which is only $20 a month. The financial barrier to entry is basically zero, but the career returns are exponential if you have the right mentorship to master the workflow.
That democratization of capability is perhaps the most profound takeaway from all of this source material. A two-person startup team in Hyderabad, using these tools, can now build and ship complex software at the exact same velocity as a 10-person enterprise team in Silicon Valley.
It's incredible.
It entirely levels the global playing field. The tools themselves are cheap, but the human cognitive skill to orchestrate them is incredibly valuable.
It is an incredible time to be in tech or even just adjacent to it. So to bring this all together for you listening, vibe coding is not just a buzzword and it's certainly not a passing trend. Here in 2026, it is the new established baseline.
Absolutely.
We have officially moved from a manual labor model of coding, you know, brick by brick, to a human AI collaboration model. The machines handle the tactical implementation, the syntax, and the repetitive boilerplate, while human developers are freed up to focus entirely on strategy, architecture, and solving the actual human problems the software is meant to address.
The human provides the why, and the AI provides the how. And if you aren't adapting to that dynamic, you are going to be rapidly outpaced by someone who is.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We've talked about how tools like Cursor and Anti-Gravity are getting better and better at understanding the deep, complex context of a project. They don't just know the code anymore. They are starting to understand the business intent behind the code.
Yeah, that's the next frontier.
So I want to leave you with a thought to mull over today as you look at the apps on your phone. As these AI frameworks get infinitely better at understanding the exact context and goals of an entire business, will the definition of a software developer eventually evolve away from understanding code entirely?
It's a wild thought.
In a few years, will a developer just be someone who is purely an expert in articulating human problems and business logic to an AI without ever needing to look at a single line of syntax? Will the language of coding just become English? It's something to think about as you navigate this wild new landscape. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we'll see you next time.